have 60 kids registered for soccer camps this year. I think that's a pretty high number for 2 weeks. 2 weeks before soccer camp. Something that's a big deal for us at soccer camp is music. I don't know what it is, but the kids will remember the words to the song a lot more than they'll remember these wonderful lessons that we teach. My wife and the music team, they put together some songs and the motions, and we'll hear these kids singing these songs all throughout the year, and they just love this music. I mean, it's just powerful. That's one of the reasons why when we choose the music for soccer camp, we like to either sing scripture or to pick songs that are very, very faithful to the Word of God, because we know this is what the kids are going to remember. I mean, anytime you do children's ministry, music's really important. It's a really important thing to have the right songs and to really get the kids engaged and get a little bit of energy out while they're doing it. If you grew up in the church or you helped to minister to children, you know the song about the story that Pastor Tim read this morning. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior came that way, he looked up in the tree, and I like this part in the song because you just speak it like I'm doing now. And he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there." And kids pointing. "For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." It's a great children's song. It's kind of a cute song. It's kind of a cute little story, and it's kind of fun. And I think sometimes when we hear these little songs and we hear these lessons like this in a children's setting, we think, "Isn't it nice?" And that's all there is. Well, there's a lot more there to it than just perhaps what we're teaching the children or what we're singing about. And hopefully you'll hang with me this morning as we look at this and hopefully go just a little bit deeper and to see what's here in this in the story, the true story of Zacchaeus. This is actually, at least in the book of Luke, it's the last personal one-on-one encounter that Jesus will have with a person. Because right immediately following this, there's a parable of the minas, and then there's a triumphal entry. Seems to me it would be significant that this is here in that place. So let's look at what the Bible has to say. We're going to start with Zacchaeus, a seeker. We call him a seeker, and that's what he was doing. Verses 1 to 4 have to do with Zacchaeus, the time and the place. Well, the place was Jericho. And I know we talked about Jericho not too long ago, but perhaps a little bit of review would be important. There were two Jerichos. The first Jericho was the city in which Joshua led the children of Israel in that great victory where the walls came tumbling down at the blast of the trumpets and just leveled the city. Eventually, the city was rebuilt, but not on the same site. We talked about blind Bartimaeus being healed as he was, the one talks about him leaving Jericho and the other entering Jericho, leaving old Jericho and coming into new Jericho. This little story of Zacchaeus takes place in Jericho. It was a hotter climate there than in Jerusalem. The elevation was lower. Jerusalem was about 2,300 feet above sea level. This was 1,300 below. We were in Bozeman and Belgrade, and that was like 4,500 feet above sea level. We did a lot of walking, and I got a lot of cardiovascular, gasping for breath. But Jericho, it was a place where people wanted to go in the winter, like people go to Florida. It was an affluent city. It was a wealthy city. It was a place where the Levitical priests would stay while they waited for their time to serve. It was the last stopping place on the way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was about 15 miles away. And the time is significant. Jesus is about 1 week from the cross. About 1 week from the cross. And he's in Jericho. And he's meeting with Zacchaeus. In this little account, we see the Lord's heart. We see his determination as the seeker meets with a seeker. brief bio of Zacchaeus. It's kind of neat how just a few short words, we learn so much about Zacchaeus. There was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. This is funny. This is really funny. It's kind of an inside joke because Zacchaeus is the Greek version of the Hebrew name. The Hebrew name, I don't know if I can pronounce it right, is Zacchai. It means pure or righteous. Do you get the irony here? We have a chief tax collector whose name is pure. He's righteous. Can you just imagine the people making the connection between his name and who he was and what he did? There's Mr. Clean. There's Mr. Pure. Because that's how they probably felt about it. Zacchaeus had a job that alienated him from people. He was a tax collector. And we talked about that a little bit. They were viewed as traitors to the country, to Israel. They collected taxes for Rome. They bought the rights to do this. They overcharged. They fraudulently collected money because the more money they collected, the more money that they could keep. They were universally disliked, even hated, ostracized from polite society, any Jewish society, not allowed in the temple. He was a tax collector. Not only that, he had people working for him. Says he was a chief tax collector. That word in the Bible here for chief tax collector, Architekalones, I can't even pronounce it. It's the only place in the Bible. In fact, we don't even find it in contemporary literature. He was the chief tax collector there in the area of Jericho. He was like, to the Jews, probably that meant he was the arch villain. It's the last mention of tax collectors in the book of Luke. Significantly, tax collectors are mentioned 6 times in the Gospel of Luke. 6 times. Probably the most memorable account for me when it comes to tax collectors, besides Zacchaeus, is the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. And the Pharisee, remember his prayer, "I am so glad I'm not like all these other folks." And then the tax collector, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Well, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. He was a wealthy man. No doubt he received a significant portion of money from all those people working underneath him. Jericho was a choice territory to have. It was on a significant trade route. As people were passing from Damascus into Arabia, they would have to go through this area. It was quite a strong agricultural area. The palm trees that were there, the balsam gardens that were there. It was kind of a vacation resort for people, too. It was a wealthy area. So he's in the right place with people working underneath him, and he had every opportunity to make a ton of money. I like the way R. Kent Hughes puts this. He was the kingpin of the Jericho tax cartel, and he had the scruples of a modern-day crack dealer. He was filthy rich in the fullest sense of the term. Not a likely candidate for the kingdom. So that's who he was. A tax collector. Hated. Despised. And it's surprising to see, as we look at the scripture, he had a desire to see Jesus. He had a desire to see Jesus, but he had a problem. He was too short, and the crowd was too big. It says here, Zacchaeus, in my Bible, was trying to see who Jesus was. The English Standard says he was seeking to see. He wanted to see. That's why we call him a seeker. At this point, we're not sure why. We're not really told why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. What prompted him? Perhaps that just very recent miracle to him, the healing of blind Bartimaeus, you know, got to him. Perhaps that's what it was all about. Perhaps God had been, and I believe this is probably true, God was working in his heart, and with all the money that he had and all the wealth that he had and everything that he could do with that money, it didn't bring him satisfaction and he was empty. Perhaps that was it. I know one thing. He was more than curious. He was more than curious, not just kind of wanting to know a little bit, you know, what's this happening, because he was determined to see Jesus. He was determined to see Jesus, and he made sure he did. He was trying to see who Jesus was. He was a seeker. And that, even that motivation, I think, came from the Lord. His actions show he is more than curious. Romans 3, 10 and 11. We know that anyone who is drawn to God, that's a work that God does in a person's heart. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. That's what God says. Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. Where did the desire come from? That was something that God gave to him. How does God do that? How does God work in that to draw people to himself? I'm not sure. That's a work that God does, and we trust him on that. John 6, 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So Zacchaeus really wanted to see the Lord. God was doing a work in his heart. He was more than curious. I think he was pretty serious, as it turns out. It's pretty clear. But he had a problem. His height wouldn't let him. Did you see the way that the New American said that? He was small in stature. You know, Bartimaeus is named, and Zacchaeus is named. A lot of people aren't named, but I think they were named because the early church knew them. And, you know, we have people that we love and we care for. We try to say things a little more gently. He was short in stature. I like the way Pastor Tim put it. He was vertically challenged. The NIV, the New International Version, I like it, but it's not so nice. He was short. He wanted to see and he couldn't see. Reverend Bill Brew was one of our instructors at the Grand Rapids School of Bible Music, and I loved him. I loved listening to his classes. At one point, he was our interim pastor at Whitneyville Bible Church, and I just loved it when he opened up the Word of God, because he opened it up and he just broke it down and you were fed. My daughter loved Pastor Brew for a couple reasons. One of them is because he's such a godly man, and the other one is because he's short. And he'd get behind the pulpit and he has such a reverence for the name and the character of who God is that when he says the word God, it is, there's so much in there where you understand that. But my daughter would imitate him. I wouldn't say the word mock him. He was such a short God, and he would say that in such a reverent way. And my daughter would imitate him, and she would do that. But when you would say, you know, he would say, and God, and he would do it this way. But to imitate him, my daughter would go this. Zacchaeus was a short guy. And he wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus was coming through, and he couldn't see him. And do you think that crowd was going to be... have any desire at all to let him through? Who is that? Zacchaeus? Get out of here. You know, just make a wall. This is Zacchaeus. Forget you. I could just see how that would work. He was short. He wanted to see Jesus and he couldn't get there. They probably felt about Zacchaeus the way we do when we're on a highway going down the road and there's a construction project and the left lane has to blend in. And there's always those jokers who wait. Well, they just loop around everybody to get to the last second. And you know that's the reason why it's causing the backup. But still, when I finally get to the end of the line and they're trying to get in, I keep my bumper right next to the bumper in front of me. You are not getting in, buddy. Zacchaeus, you're not getting through. You are not getting through. But Zacchaeus, now listen, he's the chief tax collector. He's a leader. Whether you like what he's leading at or not, he's a leader. And leaders are problem solvers. And he's problem solving here. It says in verse 4, he ran out ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. Right away, if you know anything about the culture, we know this is more than curiosity because men, especially men such as Zacchaeus, did not run in that culture. They didn't do that. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Saw a son from afar off and he ran to see him. That was not dignified for them to do. He climbed up into a tree. sycamore trees are pretty sturdy. Some nice big low branches, nice leaves. He got there, found a nice little perch, and he settled in and just waited for Jesus to come by because he wanted to see Jesus. One of the terms we call for people who are in important places are movers and shakers. Zacchaeus was moving, he was running, and he was shaking, but it was in the tree. He was seeking, and he was about to meet the seeker, Jesus. And Jesus, verse 5 tells us, initiated the meeting with Zacchaeus. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. The NIV puts it more dramatically. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. And I don't think Zacchaeus expected that. I thought he'd just start, you know, just kind of see him go by, and, you know, he had his look, certainly more than he anticipated, but Jesus looked up, and he called him by name. How did he know his name? We don't know if he was told. We don't know if it was supernatural. Remember what he said to Nathanael? I saw you while you were under the fig tree. What a wonderful surprise. He wanted to see Jesus, but now he was going to meet with Jesus. Jesus looked up and he told him, hurry up and come on down. This is not a suggestion. This is an imperative. It's a command. Come down immediately. Make haste. Come down. He must have been surprised. The people in the crowd must have been surprised. Zacchaeus, what are you doing up in that tree? Did you see that? I don't think Zacchaeus was embarrassed at all. I don't think he cared what anybody else said. Not only was he going to get to see Jesus, but Jesus said, come on down. For today, I must stay at your house. This is the only place in Scripture we have where Jesus invited himself to be a guest in someone's house. In fact, he didn't invite himself. I must. The divine must. Remember what we read about when it said that Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem? We know what that was all about, the mission that he was on for our salvation. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I must. He had a divine appointment with Zacchaeus. I must stay at your house today. Mixed reaction. Verse 6. There's always a mixed reaction to Jesus. Zacchaeus' part, I think he was excited. We're told he hurried up and he came down. It must have been a surreal moment. You ever have those kind of moments where something big, something significant has happened in your life and it's like, is this really happening? Is this a dream? Am I going to wake up from this? And tomorrow, there are some times when there's some very tragic things happening, and we especially feel those to be surreal moments. But there are those positive ones, too. And I think this was one of those surreal moments for Zacchaeus where it was like, am I awake? Is this really happening? Does Jesus really want to meet with me? Man. He was excited, but I don't think the crowd was. We know they weren't. Verse 7 says, when they saw it, they all began to grumble, to mutter, to complain. Now, as we've been reading through, we see that's a typical response of the leadership of the Jewish people. But this is a response of the people. There may have been people in this crowd who had been following from just a short time previous to this, when Jesus had healed Bartimaeus and restored his sight. And the same people who were praising Jesus for this wonderful miracle that he did and this compassion on this man are now some of the same people going, what in the world is he doing? I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe what I'm hearing. He's really going to do that? He's going to go to Zacchaeus' house? He's going to meet with him? Maybe even stay the night? Are you kidding me? They're grumbling. They're complaining. It's absolutely essential that we learn something right here, and let's not move past this too quickly. We need to see people the way that Jesus sees them. They saw Zacchaeus one way, but Jesus saw him another. A song that I just love was written by sung by Brandon Heath maybe about 8 years ago. It's a song that I listened to over and over again right after my daughter was taken to be with the Lord. Give me your eyes. I don't know if you've heard that song. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your heart for the brokenhearted. Give me your... I could sing this all day long, but I can't say it. But the whole message of the song, give me your eyes. Help me to see the way that you see people. I see them one way, but Lord, you see them another way. And Lord, I sing this and I pray this all the time. Lord, help me to see this person, that person, the way that you see them. I see them in their physical characteristics. I see them in that obnoxious thing they're doing. I see them this way or that way. But Lord, help me to see a soul. Help me to see a person for whom Christ died, for whom Christ loves. Give me your eyes. The people were grumbling, the people were complaining, but Jesus was seeking out Zacchaeus. And he made an appointment with him. And Zacchaeus was glad to keep that appointment. I don't think Zacchaeus cared, and I don't think Jesus cared about this grumbling, this low-level noise that's taking place at this. So between verse 7 and verse 8, there's a gap of time. We don't know how long that is. You know, we read our scripture, we go from verse 7, we go to verse 8. Zacchaeus, come down, you're coming to my house today. Zacchaeus got down, grocery, the people grumbled. And then we hit verse 8. And it seems like there's like no second in between. But there's some time. I think they've already been in the house. I think they've already probably sat down for a meal. Jesus has already been speaking with Zacchaeus. And it's at that point, verse 8 comes. Zacchaeus stopped and he said to the Lord. Other translations say Zacchaeus stood. He stood and he said to the Lord. And I think that's pretty a more accurate way of saying that. He had something important to say. Having conversed with Jesus and perhaps the disciples and enjoyed a meal together, I'm assuming there came a point when Zacchaeus says, you know what? I've got an announcement to make. Almost like we would do at a wedding for a toast. You know, the best man or the maid of honor do that kind of thing. Or if you're asked to pray in a church service, you know, you stand up and you pray. Zacchaeus, he stood up. And here's what he said. Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. It's actually more dramatic in some translations because they add the word behold. Behold, look, half my possessions I give to the poor. He found true riches and wealth. And this man who made his life of making money at other people's expense was a changed man. And now he's wanting to give it back. In fact, he was doing, remember the story of the rich young ruler who thought he kept all the law, and Jesus said, just one thing you lack, sell all of your possessions and give them to the poor and follow me. And he said, oh, Lord, I'll do it. No, that's not what happened. That's what we wanted to hear, but he walked away sad because he wasn't willing to do that. Not Zacchaeus. Half my possessions I will give to the poor. And then in verse 8, the last part, he says he was determined to make restitution. He knew he had defrauded people. My Bible says, almost like hypothetical, you know, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, really more precisely, since I have defrauded people, since I have. And I expect the list of people wasn't very short. Now, if you're a detailed person, and I consider myself a detailed person, you might get hung up right here. If I have defrauded anyone, I'm going to pay them back fourfold. Well, how do I find the people? How do I make this announcement? How do I get them all there? How much do I know? It doesn't matter. It did matter, but what's most important here is his heart's attitude. This was his intention. If I have defrauded anyone, I am going to make it right. Four times. I love the story when Nathan, the prophet Nathan, talked to David about his sin and told him the story about the man with a little ewe lamb who was taken and killed, and David was incensed. You know, Nathan was using this to show David his sin, and David, in his anger, says this, as the Lord lives, I can almost hear the king in his righteous, really unrighteous wrath at this point, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and he had no compassion. You look at the Old Testament, you look at the different standards of restitution, and there wasn't just one size fits all. Sometimes the standard was, you give back what you took and you add a fifth. That's for a voluntary confession. If a person was caught with stolen goods, you pay back double, twice as much. The highest standard, the highest level of restitution, Exodus 22:1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. Zacchaeus voluntarily said, if I have defrauded anyone, if I had cheated anyone, not a fifth, not double, 4 times the amount, he's determined to pay one of the highest levels of restitution. See, as he turned to faith in Christ, his money didn't have a hold on him anymore. He found true wealth. He found that which was the most valuable thing. Forgiveness from God. Entrance into the family of God. An eternal future with God himself. He's a changed man. And this was the same day that he was saved. Same day. With confirmation of his salvation, not just evidence of it. In verse 9, we see the confirmation. Wouldn't you like to hear Jesus say this about you? Salvation has come to this house today. You ever wonder? We know the scriptures tell us and we can believe everything it says, but wouldn't it be nice to hear the Lord say, you belong to me, and tell you that by name? Zacchaeus heard that. He wasn't saved because of his generosity or because he made restitution. They were evidences of his faith. James 2:18 is in your bulletin today on the bottom left there. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. The very same day, perhaps within the hour of his salvation, Zacchaeus demonstrated his faith. Giving those things didn't save him, but giving them and saying what he did and meaning it show us that he genuinely was saved. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples as they were just blown away when he said that little parable, that little saying, when the rich young ruler walked away, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They heard and said, well, then it's, who can be saved? But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. And here, not too long after the story of the rich young ruler who walked away from Jesus because his money meant more to him, we have the story of Jesus doing the impossible. We can't save anyone. Only God can save. Only God can change a person's heart. Only God can bring a person to seek him and then seek him out and draw him to himself and to save them. And God can even do that with the hardest cases, even with a traitor, so to speak, like Zacchaeus. Last part of verse 9. Zacchaeus had faith like Abraham. He too is a son of Abraham. Well, yeah, he was biologically, even though the Jews would reject him and say, he doesn't belong to us, he's betrayed the nations. Jesus said something about him that they would have just choked at. He's a true son of Abraham. He's not only a biological son, one by birth, but he's a spiritual son of Abraham. It says in Romans 4:3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited, it was counted to him as righteousness. And Zacchaeus was a true son of Abraham. Just a random question. Could Zacchaeus continue to be a tax collector and be a Christian? The answer is yes. Believe it or not, Luke 3, verses 12 and 13. Remember this? And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? Jesus didn't say, quit your jobs, get an honest living here. find something else to do. This one ain't cutting it. What he said, collect no more than what you've been ordered to do. Now we know from tradition that Zacchaeus was appointed bishop of Caesarea by Peter. Seems like he maybe ended up with an important position. So it doesn't seem like he stayed there. Sometimes when we come to Christ and we're in places that might be a little shaky, sometimes we got to get out, but sometimes we just need to be the most righteous, pure, live up to the name, Christian that you can be in the place where God has you. If he moves you, yes. If he doesn't move you, be faithful there. Zacchaeus knew he was lost. The rich young ruler didn't, and he wouldn't admit it. Isn't that a beautiful thing to see God working in the heart of a person? There's something about verse 10. It says, Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I looked at the Greek, and I don't think those are monosyllabic, one syllable, but the gospel is so simple. There is not a two-syllable word in our English translation. Did you notice that in verse 10? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Every one of those words are one syllable. In a very, very simple sentence. The heart, perhaps the key verse, the verse that summarizes our Lord's ministry, his reason for coming, certainly the book of Luke is capsulized here in this verse. For the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the unique God-man, has come to seek out and to save that which was lost. Remember the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son? We're not talking about lost things, we're talking about lost people. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. So this is more than a children's story. It's more than a children's song. It gives us the very heart of God. Blind Bartimaeus had to be poorer than dirt, begging. He was a down and outer, far from the Lord. Zacchaeus, filthy rich, up and outer. Are you here today without Christ? Are you a down and outer, up and outer, somewhere in between? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save which is lost. Perhaps he has prepared you even to come here today to hear the preaching of the Word of God that you might respond to him in faith. That's a work that God does in your heart. Perhaps today, like no other day, the words of the Scripture are just resonating in your heart and your mind, and it's like, where did this come from? This has never happened before to me. I don't understand. That might be the Word of God being applied to your heart by the Spirit of God. Listen to that. Listen to that. Respond in obedience. God said to Zacchaeus, hurry up, come down. And that's what he did. And I would say to you, if the Lord is moving you and moving your heart to seek him out for salvation, hurry up. Do it. Come to him in faith. You know, as Christians, I think sometimes we get in our little comfort bubble and we don't see people like God sees them, and we have certain people that we don't really want anything to do with, and we put limitations. And I just want to encourage you to have the same heart that God has, to see people the way that he does. Even to pray and to ask God, Lord, help me today as I go through the responsibilities that I have today, as I meet with people, as I see people, not to see them in all these other ways that I normally do, but help me to see them as you do. Help me to see perhaps their need for Christ, their need for encouragement. God doesn't write anybody off. He doesn't write anyone off. None of us are worthy. It's exciting to think about that God may desire to use us to help a person who is beginning to seek him, that he is seeking, to be the agent, a clean and pure vessel to help facilitate that stated mission of Christ might take place. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And oh, the privilege and joy to be used of God in that process, to to be a very part of the heart of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its truth. The children's song is simple. The story is even simple for adults, but the truth, as simple it is powerful. Lord, help us not to miss the truth of it. Help us to desire to be obedient to your stated purpose, your stated goals in reaching out to people, Lord, that we might be used in a great way to cooperate with you to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.